Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Relax. All right? My old man is a television repairman. Got the ultimate set of tools. I can fix it.
With Dusty Fan Man Hera.
I know Kung Fu.
And former pro Cam Cleland.
You ought to spend a little more time dealing with yourself. A little less time worrying about what your brother does.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
Pucker up, buttercup.
The Fan.
All right, welcome to hour two of Dusty and Cam in the morning. The sinner and the saint are filling in today and tomorrow.
Oh,
and then Monday, we're also on at 6 a.m. to get you guys ready for the Red Box Bowl.
Oh, the Red Box Bowl. Now, that's being played in California. Is that right? The state of California?
That sounds right. Yeah
San Francisco?
Yeah, everyone's favorite Levi's Stadium.
Santa Clara, California.
God, there's something special about Levi's Stadium.
Yeah, so their turf is still terrible.
Yes.
I mean, how can they not figure out how to get grass that people can stand up on and play football?
And at any moment, on any day, at any time, at any point in the season, you could walk into that stadium and hear the echoes because no one goes to those games ever.
Isn't that amazing that they have this brand new stadium that they decided they didn't want to share with the Raiders because they wanted to keep all the revenue and then nobody is interested?
Well, that was probably the only smart thing because I don't want those people at that stadium if I was
those
there.
People.
Oh, those Raider fans are awful. I know you didn't watch Monday Night Football, but it was just sickening to watch them actually get happy about winning. Like, well, dude, season has been historically awful and you're still sitting there cheering in the stands.
And you have nowhere to play next year.
Yes.
Right now you have no agreement for somewhere
your
to play football next year.
Your team has shunned you. They said, we don't even want to be here anymore. We want to go to Vegas. And you still dress up in that stupid garb and go out there and scream.
I think you mentioned who the big winner is in all of this. I think it made
the Herbert stuff.
In Herbert stuff, I think that the Raiders could ultimately be the spot. I think they're going to tank again, and he'll be their guy for their inaugural season in Las Vegas in 2 years.
That's an interesting thing you're putting out there, because that's also assuming that they're going to deal Derek Carr.
Yeah,
I kind of don't know.
They're going to cut bait there.
They're paying him too much money. He's top five highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL.
They gave
and that's
him
a team
stupid
that's
contract, and they're going to cut him loose.
Yeah. Dude, that's chomping a lot of money, though. I know that they got a lot of picks and everything, but now you're really setting yourself on a course for like 6-7 years.
Right, but he wasn't Gruden's guy, right? And Gruden's trying to bring in all his guys, and he's just piling up draft picks. I got to imagine he's moving on from.
Yeah, you got to get keying in on Josh Johnson because he's the hot ticket right now. Josh Johnson.
I mean, he is the hot ticket. He's been with like 12 teams.
Don't say that. That's ridiculous.
See if he can play with every NFL team.
It was a joke, Will.
Another quick programming note. Well, two things. One, if you missed hour one, you want to listen to the podcast, 1080thefan.com is Les Schwab Tires podcast. We also have Les Schwab Invitational, hot Les Schwab Invitational play-by-play right here on the Fan all day. And you played football at Lake Oswego. Around the same time Kevin Love was there. And I asked you the question in the break.
Yeah.
How many times since you've graduated from high school has Kevin Love thought of you or brought you up in any conversation about anything ever?
Zero.
Okay.
No statistical probability whatsoever.
There is zero chance that Kevin Love has a single recollection of you as a person.
Like, in all terms of statistics, there has never been a case at which, until now, that there's zero probability.
Do you have high school yearbooks with Kevin Love signature going, have a great summer?
No, not that. There's pictures of Kevin in the yearbook, and I'm in the background with the side wave. You know the guy, right, in every yearbook picture where you have half of your head and your hand, and you can see half a smile like, hey.
That's you?
That's me.
Hey, that's
I was half wave guy.
So maybe he's looking at the yearbook pictures and going, somebody's like, hey, who's half wave guy there? And you're like,
he goes, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Bill Farkins? Is that his name?
Oh, Bill Farkins. Yeah. I think he played college football somewhere. Somewhere. Hey, let's get to the hot five, or what is it? What's the thing we're doing? Hot and cool. It's 7:06.
What's hot?
Hot five at five.
Okay. You know, what's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the Fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
All right, let's start with the hottest story of the day.
The big hot story, we just talked about this, but Justin Herbert is coming back for his senior season to play quarterback for the old Duckies.
The Oregon Ducks, yes. The right decision, in my opinion. Of course, there's a bunch of different opinions. People say he's throwing money away.
Yeah, no,
I don't think he is.
Neither do I, and it's just a matter of staying healthy and hope he doesn't have a catastrophic injury, but you can't play hoping not to be hurt.
Well, and now there's a whole bunch of other people on Twitter who are like, wow, you just threw it away because Tua is going to get picked over and you're going to lose a bunch of money because he'll be the first pick. Yeah, I think I'll take Justin Herbert over Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, and
a 5'9" quarterback doesn't, yeah.
Well, and also being like the fourth pick versus the second pick in the NFL draft isn't going to drop you a whole lot of money.
No.
And you end up on a little bit better team.
Yes.
All right, on to a cool story. Alabama's quarterback, Tua, as you mentioned, said on Wednesday that his ankle is about 80-85%, has had really no setbacks in his recovery. He got chipped up in the game, the SEC championship game against Georgia. This is cool because you want to see the best players on there. We're all hoping Alabama loses, but you want him to lose at full strength. You don't want it to be because of injuries.
Well, not only that, but you want to see Kyler Murray up against Tua Tagovailoa, the two best quarterbacks out of this class. I mean, yeah, it's just better when both are on there, and I really don't want to see Jalen Hurts play. I get it that yep. During the SEC title game, he had some renaissance. I don't get how he did it. I think he just kind of, I don't know, he made a deal with the devil or something.
But yeah.
I would just rather see the two best players in the country play each other.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Watch him play at full strength, and hopefully he's ready to go and plays the whole game. All right, here's a nice thing for all you Seahawks fans. Seahawks playing well enough that Pete Carroll signed an extension that will have him coaching through 2021.
Oh, Pete's going to play. Pete out there at long snapper.
But the Seahawks are a big surprise to you. This is a team that I think a lot of people thought was at least having a rebuilding year, if not a rebuilding cycle, and they've secured a playoff berth by virtue of beating the Chiefs and the Redskins lost this last weekend.
Well, God, what a turnaround for Pete Carroll. I mean, there were rumors after their 0-2 start that this was his last year, not so much that he would get fired, but that they might try to talk him into an early retirement, Bill Belichick. They're the two oldest coaches right now, at least active coaches. And so now that you're playing, you're going to coach through the 2021, 2022 season. That's pretty incredible. And so wait, how old is he now?
I don't have his age in front of me. He's an old man. But the other thing that's crazy about the Seahawks is something to watch for on Sunday is they have a chance to set or tie the NFL record for the fewest turnovers in a season. Right now they're sitting at 10, and if they can go turnover free against the Arizona Cardinals, they would tie the NFL record with the fewest turnovers in a season. Dude, that's Nathan Peterman in like three starts is 10 turnovers.
He'll be nearly 70
yep.
when he's in the last year of his contract. That's crazy. And he's younger than Doug Marrone, or at least he looks like it.
No, he's a spry young man, so he's doing well. And I think good news for Seahawks fans. I suppose this is cool because the Blazers get to be part of history. The Golden State Warriors go for a franchise record sellout streak against the kings of the NBA attendance, the Portland Trail Blazers. You wrote that. That's kind of weirdly worded. But yeah, they're home and they're playing third tonight.
I'm a great writer.
You've incredible. Confused me, and I know the story, but
people actually misinterpret what I write to Faulkner. They're like, whoa.
Yeah.
What am I reading?
That's what it was. It moved me so much when I was reading it. Blazers are playing against the Warriors tonight. The Warriors setting a franchise record with 311 consecutive sellouts. Beats their record in the 90s. The start streak started back in 2012. That's how interesting they have been.
Boy, you know, we say the Blazers suck, but the Warriors kind of suck right now. This is the first time they've lost 12 games before Christmas or at the Christmas break in the last 5 years or something?
Something like that. And then additionally, the Christmas Day blowout to the Lakers, it was the lowest scoring output for the combination of Curry, Thompson, Durant, and Green since they've all been together.
And of course, there was the hilarious Draymond Green airballing a three-pointer when everybody left him open scene, which made me laugh very hard.
Is it Draymond Green playing for like the huge contract next year? He said he's taking all the money after the season.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to.
Well,
I know who will sign him. I bet the Knicks will. And then they'll claim it as a victory.
Yeah.
We got him. We got
somebody on Twitter.
Isn't New York too lit to actually play basketball? Isn't that Joakim Noah? Isn't that what he's
Yeah, that's right. Or no, he's too lit to play basketball in New York. Something like that. Or New York's too lit for him. I don't know. One of the two. Maybe both.
It was one of the two.
I saw someone on Twitter, though, say that when Draymond Green shoots a three-pointer, looks like he's got a backpack on, and now you can't unsee that. He's just got this weird launching form, like he's being held down by something.
Trying to picture it. I think I can see that. All right, and here's your final story for your hot and cool. So Thunder and Lightning canceled the, what was it, the Serve Pro
First Responders Bowl
between Boise State and Boston College. And you were impressed with the response from the athletic department for Boston College.
Yeah, Boston College, Martin Jarman.
Old Jarman.
Yeah, old Jarman there. We've hung out with him a couple times.
Yeah, Jarman Two-Ply is what we called him.
He tweeted out, quote, "To our fans who purchase tickets through BC, you will get a full refund by January 2nd. Also, pick any home athletic event between now and next December and get free tickets for the number of bowl tickets purchased, compliments of the BC Eagles. Thank you for your support. Hashtag WeAreBC." That's pretty awesome. I understand that's a really crappy situation because if you spend a bunch of money on airline tickets and basically centered your holiday around a football game that lasted all but one quarter, that sucks. Hard.
I didn't see the weather that canceled it. Was it at least a cool lightning storm? No, I understand that. Was it a cool lightning storm? Because I would probably rather watch a really spectacular light show in the sky than the Serve Pro First Responders Bowl. These bowl games are terribly boring, and a good lightning storm is very entertaining.
Well, the thing is,
your expression is fantastic.
Also, it would have been nice if you could have watched the lightning storm, but they had to evacuate the stand so they wouldn't even let people stay and watch the lightning.
See, that's disappointing. You don't like a good lightning storm?
I don't know, man. They canceled the game, the Serve Pro game, and so I just went to the museum next door for the Pink Floyd light show. And
oh, you don't like
I just hung out for that.
Well, now you're making fun of light shows?
I was in Knoxville for the Oregon-Tennessee game that got delayed by lightning, and a couple of my buddies decided to stay in the aluminum bleachers and just scream at the heavens to bring it on.
Yeah, there you go.
I forgot about that. That was a late game.
It became a late game. It was already like a 6 o'clock.
It's pitch dark like when they were playing that.
5 o'clock West Coast, 8 o'clock there or something.
Now, was that when LaMichael James just like exploded?
Yeah, him and Kenyon Barner had a big punt return in that game.
Yeah.
All right, that's your hot and cool, your daily dose of positivity. It's brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. They are your local train comfort specialist, and you can find them at areaheating.com. It is hard to stop a train. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the new information that we learned about the baseball stadium that's going in. The Portland Diamond Project made an agreement with the city, and now we have some details about that. So if you're excited for baseball, it's kind of interesting to learn a little bit more of the hoops you have to jump through to get the stadium built, and that doesn't even start what has to happen before we can get a team. So we'll do that next. You're listening to Dusty and Cam in the Morning, a special edition with the Sinner and the Saint right here on 1080 The Fan. So we get the Christmas day after Christmas news that Justin Herbert's coming back, and I think everybody's excited about that. We also got a little trickle of news, which is kind of the cycle that we've been getting everything on the Portland Diamond Project. The way that they've kind of released things has been incremental, and we still don't know who the financial backers are. We don't know who the big money players are. We see Craig Cheek. We see Mike Baer out there talking about it. We've seen Russell Wilson and Sierra come out and put their support behind it. And I think a lot of people are getting pretty enthusiastic about it, including yourself. You said the day that Portland gets a baseball team, you become a fan, right, Will?
Yes, I will become a baseball fan once they get a team because of my undying homerism for any team that's just in this vicinity.
And until they do, you continue to be a staunch advocate against baseball and its abolition. Yes. You need baseball to go away or come to Portland.
Yes, until Portland gets a baseball team, the sport of baseball is a just useless and boring practice.
Fair question. How many people are in exactly Will's same boat?
A lot.
I think
could
a lot
care
of people.
Less unless it shows up here.
A lot. A lot of people. And it was the same thing with soccer. I think that there was a massive group of people who said, what? Soccer, I don't care about that. Get it out of my city. And then we got a team and they go, oh, the Timbers? Well, I like the Timbers.
Yep.
I know nothing about the statistics, but I do love going to the games.
Yep.
And I don't fault any of those people because I've seen the renderings for this stadium. And I would probably go there a lot. I'd probably quit my job and just live around there.
So we got a number-heavy story from Oregon Live or the Oregonian, however you collect your news, that kind of went through some of the details in this letter of intent that was signed back on November 28th, which is essentially the framework for the agreement between the city of Portland and the leasing of Terminal 2. Now, this has you a little bit worried, but for me, I see it as a positive sign because as you kind of read through, and I won't bore you guys with the details, if you want to go and find it, like I said, the story's on Oregon Live, and it goes through a lot of numbers. The thing for me is it just looks like a lot of I dotting and T crossing and things that need to be done. The numbers in there don't mean a whole lot to me because I have no idea what it means to sign a lease agreement with any city for a large chunk of property for a development project, right? That's way in and over my head.
Well, I think the thing that really concerns you about this, it's in the lead of the story, is that they say, quote, the group would pay the port at least $900,000 a year as they build out the property, according to terms spelled out in the letter. And so what that says to me is that you aren't even generating revenue at a certain point and you're having to pay rent as you build. That's a scary situation. And I get that $900,000, I mean, to a finance group like this wouldn't seem like that big of a deal, but with anything that you build, whether it be a hotel, a home, or anything else, there's always snags and there's always financial snags that come up where you're going to have to pay unexpected costs that you didn't plan out for. And if you're throwing nearly $1 million a year just in rent while you build and you aren't even getting ticket money or broadcast money or advertising money at that point, that can be a scary situation.
The thing that I don't get, and I don't know if anybody out there would have the answer, but feel free to text us so you can help educate us. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. But all this money that's going into the lease agreement and the development and all of these essentially startup costs that you need to get a project like this going, does that go into the $1.5 billion projection for this stadium site, right? I mean, we know that it's going to cost a lot of money, but I can't foresee the glass and the rebar and the concrete costing $1 billion. A lot of it is just the financial hoops you have to jump through to have this land agreement and do everything that you need to build a stadium. To me, as a letter of intent signed by both the city and the Portland Diamond Project with $900,000 attached to it, you go, oh, well, these guys, if they're not balking at that, that gives me more confidence. Because what we've seen from the city of Oakland, for example, is I believe it's in the last 10 years, they've had 12 different renderings. Buck, does that sound about right? That they've had 12 different renderings for new stadium projects on different sites around the Oakland area to try to keep the A's there.
Yeah, 12 seems a little high, but I mean, over the last five-ish years, it seems like every year there's at least one thing that comes out that it's about the new site. First, it was like the Laney College site, then it's Howard Terminal, then it's Jack London. I mean, they're just...
There was two in the last year. I know that.
Yes. And it seems like they just keep throwing it out there, like you said, to sell the hope and to try to keep people interested. And maybe the city turns around and says, you know what? We do want to be a part of this, but that's not happening.
Yeah. And so they put out renderings right around the same time that the Portland Diamond Project information came out. And the final paragraph in the story goes, but there's no financial backing for this project and there's nobody really driving it, but they lay out these beautiful renderings and this idyllic setting for it. And I think it was Jack London Park that they were going to use for this most recent one, but they paint this picture of this whole renaissance in the city of Oakland. And we're going to finally keep a team. As you see the Golden State Warriors move across the bay and Oakland Raiders are moving to Las Vegas. And then the final paragraph, I think it was the Mercury News. So it's a local paper going, but they really have no idea.
It's like Dave Cavill had a literal dream. Like he fell asleep and thought about like the president of the A's thought about what would just be perfect for him. And he woke up and that was all it was. It was just,
he had a Native American vision quest.
Exactly.
They ruined their entire, they use the entire budget having a guy make drawings.
Like they can visualize it, but they don't have any way of getting there.
Well, yeah. So you mentioned something, right? You said that, if this investment group isn't scoffing at $900,000 a year in rent while you build, oh, then this shouldn't really be a big deal. How do we know they're not? See, that's kind of what I'm a little concerned about, is that everything has been so kept so close to the cuff with this group, that's okay. I don't mind that because I understand this is a massive investment and there's a lot of moving parts to it. I get it. That's totally fine. But it also kind of worries me because maybe they are scoffing at it and maybe they're going, God, we're really stretching the funds out at this point. We're really digging into the red at this point. Are we sure that this is going to get done? Because a lot of projects like this and a lot of companies that do this, like the whole Facebook model, right? Break things and go fast. Don't worry about the consequences right now. Just think about what you're going to achieve in the future. I almost worry if that's the case with this group and that they're just saying, look, the return on investment is going to be worth it. It's going to happen. We're going to go into the red for a little bit, but things are going to work out. And maybe at some point they run out of money. It goes along with this whole narrative of, I don't want to get my hopes up. That's why when they put the renderings out, I just went, not yet. I don't want to believe that yet, because they've done this before. There were renderings for a Portland baseball stadium before they even had an investment group. And I just, until the thing is built and I see the uniforms and they're running out on the field for opening day, I'm just kind of like, I don't even want to get involved.
I get that. There's a lot of moving pieces in this, and you're waiting on, Major League Baseball to bestow a team upon you, whether it's a team moving cities or it's an expansion team. So there's a lot of
people on the text line who are with
me on this. Well, I don't disagree, but I guess to me, the idea of them keeping the message close to the vest, to your point, at least they have a message. When you look at the way the A's do it, they put out these little breadcrumbs, hoping that you'll walk into the candy house with us.
They're so pretty breadcrumbs. They're very pretty breadcrumbs.
Well, they are. It's propaganda. It is.
It very much so is. But this is where the Portland Diamond Group has controlled the message from day one, and they've followed through on all of their promises, albeit fairly small. But by the end of November, we're going to get a site announced. We're going to give you this information when the time is right. So that, to me, and having Greg Cheek out there as your spokesman and a guy that's leading this, a guy that led Nike, gives you a pretty good credibility. And I feel like just the A's are the team that I compare them to as kind of a side-by-side, a team that already exists in the Oakland A's, and what they're doing to keep them seems so much more dysfunctional than Portland's group that doesn't even have a team to call their own right now. And they're running things more responsibly. They put a lot more faith in things to me than they get on the Oakland side. So that's kind of the comparison that I can make, because I think that's the only way I can find to kind of rationalize my enthusiasm for it.
Somebody points out on the Better You Today text line 55305, you make payments on your construction line of credit when your house is being built also. Maybe my $350,000 or $400,000 home, but a $1.5 billion building with a entire shopping complex surrounding it and affordable housing next to it. Yeah, so.
I think the whole point of this is, shut up, Will. Baseball's coming. Don't ruin this for me, you big jerk.
Don't do that. Don't get your hopes up. That's what I'm saying, man. And Dirt and Sprague, I love those guys. I'm a P1 of that show.
There's a butt coming.
But
the day the renderings came out, I it was like vomit time for me. Seriously, dude, they were geeking out so hard. It was like, oh my God. And then now what will the uniforms look like? What will our mascot be? What are we going to? And I'm like, dude, they're just renderings.
Where are you buying your season tickets?
Yeah. Oh my God. Hey, maybe one of us can call the game.
Yeah.
Are you going to take the gondola there, or are you going to ride your bike into the free bike parking?
Yeah. I'm a little confused about the gondola. I think it floats over the outfield. Yes. I don't even get you to the park. I think you sit there for three innings and you hover over left center or whatever. It seems bizarre to me, but people seem excited
about
it. What
about scooter parking?
Ooh.
Because by that time, scooters will have taken over.
Oh, yeah. Nobody will even drive cars in the city of Portland. It will be exclusively scooters. Speaking of vomit time, the Pac-12 off to an 0-2 start in bowl game.
Did you see that doozy against TCU?
Oh, if you didn't, we'll tell you all about that great matchup in a great bowl game.
What? Well,
yeah, right? I don't know. We'll tell you how awesome the Cheez-It Bowl was right after Buck gives you a SportsCenter update.
Take me back to high school, Ska Mania, bro.
All right.
Yeah.
Give me a slip-on checkered Vans. We're going to get out with Squee.
Yeah, we're going to put on some swing dance later, too.
Yeah.
We transition from Ska. We're going to throw in some cherry popping daddies. We can get out and do a Zoot Suit Ride.
I heard that Becky has a fake ID and we can get Heineken's.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
How do you go through all this Ska bashing and not praise the glory that is basketball? This was in that movie.
Oh, yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Shut up.
I love that movie.
This was like it was an awesome movie. Did you not
Sir,
like that
Sir, can
movie?
I borrow your blanket?
I have no feelings one way or another about basketball.
Well, that's too bad. Yeah, really? There's incredible lines in it.
Where do you think Shaq made all of his money?
College.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, everyone knows that. Yeah, see, that's another movie you need to watch.
Yeah,
well, you got Jingle All the Way in there. Now you gotta see Basketball. Go
back and, tell you what, I was very happy with your recommendation of Jingle All the Way for terrible movies that absolutely delighted me. I will. I'll go watch Basketball again.
It kind of falls off after the first 45 minutes, but like the invention of the game and how they get there is pretty.
How many times have you watched Basketball?
A bunch.
Okay.
It was a staple in high school.
This is a pretty sweet bed. Oh, that's a
yeah, but
bed.
That's Jenkins' bed. That's your bed's over there.
You'll get it.
And for the rest of the show,
you watch it tonight, and then we come back tomorrow because we're hosting again tomorrow morning, and it'll just be a Basketball edition.
All right, there you go. We'll find time to squeeze in some Basketball today.
55305. If you've watched Basketball,
or Team America World Police.
Oh, well.
Oh,
I don't know. That's
for
a
me
hard
Basketball.
One. Yeah, because Basketball has just some really funny one-liners.
Well, and it just brings the whole sports element into the kind of Trey Parker, Matt Stone thing, you know?
Because that's the thing you forget, too. 5-5-5. Basketball, Team America, World Police.
That's the thing you forget, too, that they're huge Broncos fans, and they always crap on Tom Brady, which I love.
All right, so the Pac-12. This is a conference that, you know, doesn't get the respect they deserve. Or maybe they get exactly the respect they deserve.
Yes.
Off to a stellar start in another bowl season. Herm Edwards already has a loss for the Pac-12. And now Justin Wilcox and Cal have the second loss.
And let me just say, that Las Vegas bowl too, I mean, it wasn't as bad as the Cheez-It bowl, but it was right there in terms of just mundane. It was just blah.
Like, yeah, the best player for Arizona State, N'Keal Harry, decided to pass.
Yeah.
Which was a good idea.
It was just boring. It sucked. And then this happened. And then the Cheez-It Bowl.
You watched every second of the Cheez-It Bowl, yes?
Every
interception.
Second, the double reverse pass that turned
that
into
one
an
was
interception.
Glorious. So I watched this game up until about the time I was going to eat dinner last night. And I right before I turned it off, there were 5 interceptions 16 minutes into the game, including like 3 in a span of about 5 plays, including that crazy reverse pass throwback. And then I was just, because, you know, you do the whole bowl pick 'em thing. You got to see where your picks are. I turn on the game. It's the same score as when I left it. They've only added 3 more INTs. And now each quarterback or each side has 4 of them, and they're duking it out.
So if you missed it, this was TCU against Cal. TCU playing a 5th-year senior, first start in his college career. I don't know what happened to the original starter. Maybe he was getting ready for the NFL draft because he figured Herbert wasn't.
No, he got hurt in their last game.
I was going to make a Herbert joke.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just trying to
car crash.
Arm the people with the right information.
I was going to let you do it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So this guy starts for the first time between the two teams. They threw 9 interceptions in a 10-7, what was it?
Overtime thriller.
Was it just 1 overtime?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's how they labeled it on ESPN.com, an overtime thriller.
And it was nearly only half of an overtime because Cal did throw a pick in the overtime period that nearly got returned for 6 just to end it before TCU even had to have a possession.
An instant classic.
Yeah.
So the Pac-12 off to a fantastic start again. What do they have, 8 bowl games they're playing in this year?
Too many.
Okay. So
for the conference.
Here's the question, I think. And 55305 is better you today text line. Okay. Is this more embarrassing for the Pac-12 or Gary Patterson? Because I saw on Twitter during the game, there were a lot of people from Texas and a lot of people from the Big 12 who were like, how has Gary Patterson come to this? Like, this was a guy that absolutely just pumped life into an otherwise lifeless university and program and made them relevant again. And now they're on the, I mean, they're playing in these useless bowl games against teams like Cal, where they're in severe rebuild mode. I mean, your quarterback can't throw.
Yeah.
He really can't. Garbers cannot throw past 10 yards accurately. And you're getting into 10-7 shootouts. But then on the other side of it, you have the Pac-12, where it looks like this is going to be much of the same throughout the entire month, which is just you're going to either lose games or have unnecessarily close ones. It makes me worried for the Rose Bowl, to be quite honest.
So 7 total games for the Pac-12, 7 bowl games. The next one will be tomorrow, and that is Iowa State playing Washington State, and that is the Alamo Bowl, and that's one of those things where it reeks of Washington State is disappointed to be there. Iowa State is pumped to be there, and those tend not to go the way of the team that had higher aspirations. Just saying. Also, the Cougs have lost their last two bowl games, and they're not always the team that gets up for these moments, right?
Who are they playing? The Cyclone?
The Cyclones, yeah. Iowa State. Number 24, Iowa State against number 13, Washington State. You have Stanford playing Pitt, and that is a Monday game. That's the Sun Bowl. You've got Michigan State, Oregon on Monday at Levi's Stadium, as we mentioned, for the Red Box Bowl. Northwestern and Utah also play on Monday. And
that's going to suck.
How do you really feel about it? And then, of course, you have the New Year's Day matchup for the Rose Bowl, number 9, Washington, against number 6, Ohio State.
You know, you were saying earlier in the show, you go, how is it that Oregon's going to be able to get top recruits, right? You were saying something along the lines of, like, how is it that they're going to be able to keep attracting talent like this and keep building on this recruiting class, right?
Yeah,
this is
not what I said, but not
well, but this is not how for Pac-12 teams.
Yeah,
like this isn't like this is what you know, it's a systemic problem. It goes all the way up to Larry Scott that you have these issues that are creating a terrible environment for kids to actually want to come to these schools. Like, everybody wanted to go to Oregon in the early 2010s because you saw them play in the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin with those sweet uniforms. You saw them embarrass Jameis Winston in the college football semifinal. And through the 2000s, you had a team like SC where it was just classic bowl games that you got to watch. The Michigan one, the Texas one, not so much the Orange Bowl with Oklahoma, but now you've been diluted to this where the team you got in the Rose Bowl won a game where they won their conference championship game where there wasn't an offensive touchdown scored.
Yeah.
That's depressing. That's bad. It's bad for recruiting. It's bad for talent. It makes you irrelevant. And so I think that, you know, really more than anything, more than the TV deal, more than the bad out of conference play that you have, and more than the, you know, three loss conference winner, it's the bowl games that really put a damper on recruiting, I think.
Well, what was it? One win last year, Utah beat West Virginia when Will Greer didn't even play. So they were missing their starting quarterback and Utah beat them in, what was it? The Zaxby's?
The Zaxby's BMW.
Heart of Dallas Bowl. Like, I mean, that's your marquee win. And are their only win, didn't exactly get the marquee lights lit up. So, yeah, I mean, the Pac-12 has a serious problem. And you look at the rest of these bowl games, and I don't really know, you know, how to pick them, but I don't have a ton of confidence in Washington. It's Ohio State. I know that they had a bad loss during the year against Purdue, but they pretty much housed everybody else down the stretch. Michigan, and they freaking rolled through the Big Ten championship game, and that's a team that sits out there and goes, all right, you put us outside of the college football playoff. They want to go and prove something. They have a big stage to do it on, and Washington kind of limped into the Pac-12 championship game and, you know, wasn't, like you said, they won a championship game without an offensive touchdown. Go Huskies!
Text from the 503, worried about the Rose Bowl? Washington's just going to get crushed.
Yeah.
I know. And that's sad, really, because, you know, I've said like a million times over the air that the Rose Bowl is like my holiday tradition. I love it. I love waking up on New Year's Day and watching the Rose Bowl. It's awesome. It's the perfect bowl game because of the fact that there's two reasons why.
It's the granddaddy of them all.
It's the granddaddy of them all. You get to watch a Pac-12 team, which is really awesome most years. Sometimes they have somebody else in there. Yeah. But most years you get to watch a Pac-12 team, and then they time it perfectly because right, like, I'd say 2 minutes into the third quarter, the sun starts going down and you have that awesome blush over the sky, and the pageantry of it just creates this really, really awesome environment. And this year you get Washington with Dwayne Haskins, who in 20 years looks like he's going to own a farm.
Yes, he does.
Just look at Dwayne Haskins and his face when he's emotionless. He looks like he's going to own a lot of land.
Well, he's always emotionless, so that's pretty easy to find a picture of that. Hey, there's a little dust up between Larry Fitzgerald and Ndamukong Suh in their game this last weekend. Larry Fitzgerald said he was just clowning, but that leads us to a very highly debated poll question, and we will get to that next, and then the NFL Pro Football Challenge pick 'em at 8 o'clock. So stick with us. The Center and Saint filling in for Dustin Cam right here on 1080 The Fan. All righty. So before we get to the Larry Fitzgerald Ndamukong Suh dust-up, Three Stooges maneuver, there's a interesting question from P1 Dustin. He said, are you still doing the last place you shopped last thing you ate name for a bowl game. So we did this. This was an ESPN tweet, I think, that generated all this. So you take the last place that you shopped and the last thing that you ate, you combine them, add the word bowl, and that is the new bowl game for the next season. So Dustin's is a Lucky Devil Total Domination IPA Bowl.
That's awesome.
That's a really good
one. That's actually something I could imagine happening. All the other ones have been kind of ridiculous. I remember the one that I had was the Fred Meyer Beet Salad Bowl.
Well, yeah, but no, here's the fun thing about this game. What is the new one that you have? So you just, the last place you went shopping now, and
I'm trying to think of the last place I went shopping.
Buck, do you have yours?
Where, shopping or just purchased anything?
Yeah.
The last place you went shopping, you can make it, shopping. Or if you purchase something and it's better, use that.
Well, let's just go with the Fred Meyer Gas Shrimp and Crab Linguini Bowl.
This is so sad. Mine's Fred Meyer, too.
Well, I'm going Fred Meyer Gas.
Fred Meyer Gas.
Fred Meyer Gas Station. There you go.
Mine would be the Faye Greek Yogurt Fred Meyer Bowl.
Nice.
So mine would be, I don't even know what the... I have to think of them. I had a granola bar this morning. I can't, but I think it's Man Chewy. Cave. Man Cave. Oh, actually, I've got
the Man Cave Granola Bar Bowl.
Yeah. So, no, it is the Smart Food Service, formerly Cash and Carry, Man Cave Protein Chocolate Covered Granola Bar Bowl.
Ooh.
Yeah. Does that play New Mexico?
I'm sure that it probably is. But yeah, Cash and Carry changed their name. So it's Smart Food Service, formerly Cash and Carry, Man Cave Granola Bar Bowl.
All right, don't we have something to get to?
Probably. 55305, send your bowl games in. Some were pretty entertaining when we did this last weekend. So if you didn't see it in the game between the Rams and the Cardinals this last weekend, and Ndamukong Suh and his good buddy Larry Fitzgerald were just clowning each other.
Sound fun.
But it looked a lot to me like Ndamukong Suh raked the eyes of Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah. So it was an aggressive poke.
Yeah.
It was very aggressive.
It was an aggressive poke. And so that led us to a poll question. And Will, you put this poll on Twitter at SinnerSaint1080. And if you'd like to participate, you can go there or you can find it probably retweeted at 1080 The Fan. So, Will, what is our new poll?
What's worse, a kick in the nuts?
Ooh, you want kick?
Yes.
Well, that was...
Okay. Or an aggressive poke in the eyes.
And how's the poll doing?
I'm actually very surprised by this. 57% of people say a kick in the nuts would be worse. I don't want anything getting near my eyes at all. Don't touch my eye. Like, I feel like getting kicked in the nuts, I feel like I could recover. If somebody aggressively gave me a jab in the eyes with both fingers, I feel like that's corneal damage. Like, I'm going to get really effed up.
Okay, but what if someone kicks you too hard in the nuts?
See, I think that's where that's
blood for a week, whatever.
But I think that's where you made the mistake. You went kick, and I said punch, because I don't think punch is as bad to the groin area as the kick is, because I think the kick does a lot more damage. It's gonna.
Yeah, that depends.
Oh, I don't know.
What if you got a sweet grip? What if you're a gym bro? Whoa,
grip? Are the assailant's fingernails, are they trimmed?
I didn't say grab and twist. It's a fist.
But what I'm saying is...
Yeah, I know. I'm wondering about the fingernails on the eye poke.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Are those trimmed?
Yeah. What if you're a gym bro and your upper body's way stronger than your lower body?
Yeah, I guess I can
see
that.
So maybe your kick really isn't that big of a deal. Maybe you miss leg day all the time.
I don't know. And the other thing that when we talked about this before the show, we were saying it was the downward punch. So imagine your buddy standing next to you. I think most of us have been in this situation where your buddy does like the downward punch towards them. So it's not an uppercut into them. I feel like the kick is taking a more direct route and it's going to cause more damage because it comes from below.
Okay, so let's define this a little bit better. So it's not a walk-up kick, it's a standing room kick.
Okay.
So you do not have the ability to, as a...
So this is not Johnny Hecker run-up punting jump kick.
Or a field goal where you get your nice little walk-up and then have some momentum behind you. It's a standing room kick where you just you kick, that's it. Same thing with the eyes, though. I would find that pretty difficult to... to run up to somebody like a run by poking, like you're just sprinting and then whack.
Yeah, I don't want to get poked in the eyes. So if it's punch, I'm going there. But if you give somebody a little room to run and kick, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like there's less chance of permanent damage Now, if it's like the Yadier Molina fastball to yeah, that's a whole thing. I don't think that's happening with a kick. But I think, yeah, you're the danger of a ruptured cornea or whatever happens when somebody jabs in the eye. Thanks, but no thanks.
So worst case scenario, this comes down to, would you rather lose sight or lose your nards?
Yeah.
Like, that's worst case scenario. Like, somebody
pokes
you.
So we're going the most vicious of nut kicks. Yeah, like, the most vicious of eye pokes.
Like,
the most
vicious. Somebody decides to play dirty, and they put little knives on the end of their fingers and go, whack!
Blind in one eye or blind in both eyes?
Like, both eyes. And I'm not saying you're blind, but, like, your vision is severely depleted. Like, it's very difficult for you to see. And then with your nards, like, they're really damaged, and the chance of you having kids now is very low.
Yeah. I've already got kids, so I'm going
eyes. Yeah, you'll probably go eyes.
I'm protecting the eyes. Go ahead and take out.
Oh, sweet. I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Honey, you know that surgery you wanted me to have? I don't have to worry about it. Will kicked me in the nards really hard.
Buried in all of this is that Larry Fitzgerald thinks one of these options is just things friends do.
Yeah, well, he was wearing gloves, so the fingernail equation's out of there. True. Yeah, his buddy Ndamukong Suh. I think if Ndamukong Suh comes and roughs you up in any manner, you go, well, yeah, we're friends. Don't worry about it. I don't want to start anything else with that guy.
Dude, that guy is way too nice. Yeah. Like,
Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, oh, Larry Fitzgerald. Like, if that happened to me, if some dude poked me in the eyes, oh, I'm snapping. I don't care at that point. Like, you can throw me at... No, yeah. I'm going to F that dude up. Like, that really would bother me really badly.
Yeah, I would go...
Like, kicking the nuts, it would debilitate me, and I'd stay on the ground, and it would make me mad, but I probably wouldn't do a lot about it. If somebody just put their fingers in my eyes and were trying to mess with me, oh, dude, now I'm set off.
If Ndamukong Suh pokes me in the eyes, I am losing in a fight really badly to Ndamukong Suh.
I don't care.
And that's what I mean. But I'm with you. I would go and I would try to take him on, and it would be a really bad idea because I wouldn't be able to see and I'd be bleary-eyed. And he's always a monster and he would kill me.
And he's a jerk.
Yeah, agreed. All right, we need to do our NFL picks because we're so smart and the listeners demand it. Does that sound accurate?
I mean, that's right.
Pro Football Challenge is next on Dusty and Cam in the Morning with the Center and St. filling in right here on 1080 The Fan.